Hey everyone, good morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's great to be back again for another Sunday. I know we're all on live. I'm missing you being live here in person. But once again, I am so thankful that we have the opportunity to connect and to be gathered together via technology. I want to encourage you in this season. Be intentional and creative about how you can stay connected with your church family. You know, some of the things we're used to, particularly gathering in person, are obviously not happening right now, but we still have opportunities and we still can be creative about how we can stay connected, get plugged into connections, even just give a call, do a video call, connect with different church family members. Let's make sure we are connecting on purpose. All right, well, we are continuing our series on faith works. We've been having a great time this month talking about faith and talking about growing deep in our faith. We also are just finishing up today our 21 days of fasting and prayer, TCC United. I'm so thankful for amazing things that God did during this time. Thank you to each one of you who dove in and who were part of this. I mean, we had the Faith Fuel video devotionals. We had the daily prayer calls where we were just crying out to God. And I've just been excited, and I've been honored at just to kind of lead this family in the way with how we've engaged in this time. And again, we're really going to be praying. You know, we're done this one, but as I said at the start of this time of fasting and prayer, I feel like, especially as we come to 2021, fasting and prayer in a united way as a church family is something the Holy Spirit is really going to want to strategically kind of engage us into even in a higher way in 2021. So stay tuned. There's more options coming. There's going to be more opportunities for us to press in. But again, just want to honor you guys with that. So let's dive into the Word of God today as well. Let's start with our core text where we are beginning, John 16:33 and 1 John 5, verse 4. But let me just pray for the Word before we read that. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you once again for the opportunity we have, God, to go to your Word. Father, I thank you that your Word, even as we talked about last week, is living. It's powerful. It's contains, it's God breathed, it's supernatural seed. It will not return to your void. And so we thank you today, just as we go into your Word once again, we believe that our lives are going to be transformed. We believe that you are speaking to us and ministering to us and moving in us in Jesus' name. And we just declare during this time, God, that even with all the natural challenges we're facing, that our faith and our trust and our hope is in you. And we're going to come out of this season stronger, deeper in our walks with you, more united together as a church family. Jesus, you are building your church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed said, amen. All right, John 16:33. Let's dive back in. This has been our core text for the entire month. I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. 1 John 5, verse 4, which is the other core text. Same author, different book. He says, for everyone who's been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Now, you know, throughout the messages, throughout the devotionals, we've been kind of building off several key principles out of these two verses. Number one, we're in a world where we're going to have trouble and tribulation. We're facing some right now. But let's be encouraged, guys, even if you get a broader perspective of the challenges many of our brothers and sisters in Christ and just people around the world are facing, we have much to be thankful for. We have much that we are blessed. But still, we are facing challenge, right? Jesus said we're going to face it. But then he said, but don't be discouraged. Take heart. Why? Because I've overcome the world. And then in 1 John 5, verse 4, he says, and not only have I overcome the world, but everyone who's been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. And so we've been focused on the power and the importance of faith in the season. The call from God to grow us in faith. The call from God to call us to go, you know, to call us to go deeper in faith. And I really want to encourage you, even as we're finishing up this time of prayer and fasting, it's not time to go, okay, well, I guess that's over with. Let me go back to life as normal. No, no, let God establish new normals in your life. Again, even in this season where, you know, there's talks of lockdowns increasing and we're getting more and more limited in what we can and can't do, again, see the opportunities in these times to go deep in God. See the opportunities in these times to build our faith, because we need faith now and we're going to need faith for what's coming. Right? We're going to need faith for what's going on. It doesn't mean it's all bad. We need faith for good things that are coming. We are going to need faith as revival breaks out. We're going to need faith in all the things that God is doing. And so we want to keep working on and building our faith. And so last week in the message, we spent some more time talking about the power of the Word of God in our lives. You know, we talked about how God is calling us to walk by faith in this season. We talked about the importance of faith. We talked about the fact that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word, Romans 10:17. And so that we want to be like serious about the Word of God in our lives. And the last week we took some time, we just talked more about the Word of God and why it's so powerful and why it matters so much. And here's the truth, guys. The more we're in the Word, the stronger our faith will be. The less we're in the Word, the weaker our faith will be. We want to walk in strong faith, which means it's in our hands to make some decisions about getting in the Word. But as I encouraged you last week, this is not just a work of the flesh. It's not just about gritting our teeth and saying, okay, we're going to make this happen. But it's about trusting Him, putting our faith in Him, and asking Him to help us. We do all things through Christ who gives us strength. And so I want to continue today to talk about faith. We're going to shift gears a little bit. And I actually want to connect a little bit to the Faith Fuel video devotional that came out this past Friday. Now, I know many of you have been following with the Faith Fuels and our whole discussion about faith. We've been kind of tying it all together. But I understand many of you watching you may not have seen that devotional as well. And so I'd encourage you, it's the Friday devotional, day 15 of our day of prayer and fasting. But in this devotional, I talked about the fact that faith works by love. Come on, someone where you are right now, just say, faith works by love. Right? And so we talked about the fact that faith works by love. And today in the message, I felt like there was such a good flow on that topic. I wanted to make sure we bridged it into today. And we talked some more about this as we're growing in our faith, we're working our faith, about this concept that faith works by love. Let's look at the verse for that. It comes from Galatians 5 verse 6. And it says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. Come on, somebody say, faith works by love. Amen. Our faith works by love. Now, I mentioned it on Friday. I want to kind of just dive right back into it. There's two key angles that we need to see this verse from. Angle number one is that faith works through love refers first and foremost, foundationally, above all else, to the fact that faith is going to work as we receive the Father's love for us. The primary, like the foundational understanding of this truth and of this passage, it's not so much our love that is the foundation, it's His love that's the foundation. And we know that from our study of the Scriptures. We know that from just journeying with God. We love because He first loved us. And so if we're talking about the fact that faith works by love, we need to understand that our faith is going to be strengthened. Our faith is going to thrive and flourish in an environment where we are walking in a growing revelation of the Father's love for us. Now, I spent a lot of time talking about this on Friday, so I'd really encourage you, if you didn't see the video devotional, check it out. But I want to make sure I give you just a little bit of touch, a couple key points with that of receiving the Father's love and walking in the Father's love and how this connects to our faith, because it is so, so important. There is something that is energized and something that is empowered in our faith when we receive a revelation of the Father's love for us. Right? The more we grow in the Father's love, the more our faith is going to flourish. Now, let me just give you a couple of thoughts on that. First and foremost, the more you know how much God loves you, the easier it is to trust Him and believe Him. Right? I mean, this is just very simple, guys. But again, we don't want to kind of move past these simple truths. The more that we have a revelation of how much God loves us, the easier it is to trust Him. Because that's really what faith is all about. In its essence, faith is trusting God. It's believing His word. And when we don't understand how much God loves us, it's a bigger jump for us to truly have faith and believe Him. But the more we have that revelation of that Corey Asbury song says, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. I mean, the love that is just wider and higher and deeper than we could ever think of. The more we get that love, the easier it is to believe Him and trust Him, because we're saying, man, He loves me that much, and He's all-powerful, and He's all-knowing. I can put my trust and faith in Him. Secondly, the more you know how much the Father loves you, the less you strive to do things in your own strength. See, when we don't have like this deep abiding revelation of Father God's love for us, we are so tempted to well, I got to figure this out myself. I got to do this. I got to make this happen. And many times it's not even conscious, it's more subconscious, but we're like, I can't trust anybody but myself. I got to make this happen. The deeper you go in the revelation of the love of the Father, the more you learn to trust and depend His work in you and the finished work of Christ instead of trying to make it happen yourself. Right? See, faith is trust in what He's done and in what He's doing. Right? Works is, I got to make this happen. The more I know His love, the more I can trust Him. And then last but not least, the more we know how much the Father loves us, the easier it is to have persevering faith. That's for a whole nother topic, but when we're talking about faith, we need to understand the power of importance of persevering faith, which means we keep believing and we keep trusting and we keep standing even when things aren't happening as quickly as we thought or it didn't happen quite the way we thought it was going to happen. Persevering faith says, I'm going to keep trusting God. I'm going to keep believing God. It's massive. That's why it says in Hebrews 6 verse 12, through faith and patience we inherit the promises, right? That's persevering faith. It's faith that keeps believing no matter what. And I just want to encourage you in that. We've had some really cool breakthroughs in this past season from members of our church family who are believing God for things for a long time, but they've seen the breakthrough. And it's so exciting to celebrate with people like that. But you know, when you're maybe in the spot where you say, well, I haven't seen my breakthrough yet, keep believing, keep trusting. But see, when you know how much God loves you, right, when you have this revelation of the Father's love, you go, okay, well, I don't understand why everything hasn't quite come yet, or I'm a little frustrated by the timing, but I know my Father loves me. And I know He's there for me, so my understanding, my revelation of His love for me empowers me to walk in faith. And so the revelation here is that one of the foundational keys, maybe the foundational key, I mean, there's several things you could maybe argue is the foundational key, but let's just say one of the foundational keys of growing in faith is understanding it works by love. The more I receive His love, the stronger my faith becomes. The less revelation I have of His love, the weaker my faith is. But I want to move as well today. I want to take a little bit more time on the second angle. I touched on it on Friday in the devotional, but a lot of the devotional focused on the first angle about the love of the Father. And so I want to talk a little bit more to you about the second angle, which is the fact that when we walk by faith, and we're growing in faith, that walking in love is a vital part to our faith working. And what I mean by this is us walking in love towards others. Now, we see this dynamic very clearly in Scriptures. We love because He first loved us, right? Forgive because He first forgave us. We receive His love for us, but then there's a call and a command that we love one another the way that He has loved us. And so, if receiving His love for us fuels faith in us and it creates an environment for faith, right? That's the primary thing. But if we take that, if we kind of receive that, but we refuse to walk in love towards others, we refuse to now in turn give that love towards others, here's the bottom line, guys. It sabotages our faith, right? When I'm walking in love towards others, when my love walk is strong, It kind of provides this support and this you know, kind of this protection around my faith. It fuels, energizes my faith. But if I am not walking in love towards others, right? If I'm not walking the way God's called me towards my family members, towards my fellow church family, towards people just in the world around us, towards people around me who I don't agree with, or I don't like the way they kind of live their lives, or I don't like their political persuasions, or I don't like this. All these people, if we do not walk in the love of God towards people, we actually sabotage our faith. Why? Because faith works by love. Let me explain what the enemy tries to do with this. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 11 says this, so that Satan will not outsmart us, for we are familiar with his evil schemes. Right? The enemy, he schemes, and he has strategies to try and get us out of what God has for us. See, here's how it works. As believers, we have the victory in Christ. I want to start right there. As believers, we have the victory in Christ. We are not trying to get the victory, but we are standing in our victory and battling. There is a battle, but the battle is to stand firm in the victory that Christ has already won us. The Bible teaches us very clearly that Satan is a defeated foe, right? Jesus defeated him. Jesus stripped him of power and authority, and we now have power and authority in his name. But here's what the enemy can do. He can't just defeat us himself because we have the victory in Christ, but he can intimidate us, deceive us, or tempt us into wrong situations so we defeat ourselves. Right? Again, if we're talking spiritual warfare 101, it's understanding that one of his main strategies is to get us to defeat ourselves, to get us to default out of the victory that Christ has given us, to get us to step back from this. And so he needs an open door, though. He needs a foothold, right? He needs us to open the door to him in some way. If we are submitted to God, we resist the devil, he has to flee. But if he can get us out of submission to God, right, we'll resist him all the way. He doesn't have to flee. Why? Because we gave him a foothold. We opened the door. So here's one of his main strategies against believers. Now, I want you to catch this today, guys, because it very much connects to walking by love, and then our faith works by the love. Right? One of his main strategies against us is to get someone who he has influence over their life. Right? Maybe they're not a believer, or maybe they're an immature believer. But he is going to try and work through others around us, and he's going to try and get them to attack us, to hurt us, to come against us. You know, life and just the things that happen, things that go on with people around us, whether it's in person, whether it's via social media, whatever it is, one of his strategies is going to try and get people to hurt you, to attack you, to come against you. And if he can get you to respond, not in the love of God to that person, but if he can get us to respond in anger, to respond in, and I'm talking about unrighteous anger, because there's nothing wrong with being angry about something. The Bible just says be angry and don't sin. So if he can get us to respond in unrighteous anger, if he can get us to get into bitterness or unforgiveness, if he can get us to kind of get down on that level and start slinging mud back and forth, you know, we see a lot of that happening out today, guys. If he can get us there, then what happens is we come out of love, we come out of submission to God, and it actually opens the door for him to start to have inroads and influence in our life. Furthermore, based on our text and what we're talking about today, if he can get you out of walking in love, if he can get me out of walking in love, then he knows that he can sabotage our faith. And our faith is how we connect with God. Our faith is how we walk in victory. And so one of his devices, one of his strategies is to find whatever way he can to get you out of walking in love, because then you open the door to him and you actually sabotage yourself. If he can sabotage our faith, then we will no longer walk in the victory that overcomes the world. See, guys, we've got to understand today, walking in love is not a weakness. It's actually the most powerful thing we can do, because when I stay in love, my faith in God stays engaged and he is moving on my behalf. But if I come out of love, if the devil can get me through someone being ugly to me, through someone being nasty to me, through something that's going on in the world around us, if he can get me out of walking in love, then he can get me out of walking in faith, and he can sabotage what God is doing. I want you to really think about this morning. How many of us, even listening to this message, maybe you're tuning in after the fact, you're just watching this message, how many of us have our faith sabotaged and our faith is not working the way it's supposed to be because we're not walking in love? Right? Now, I understand, like anyone, if someone's ugly to me, if someone's nasty to me, if somebody attacks me, I want to respond in kind. I want to knock them out. I want to, you know, I'll show you, I'll tell you, you watch what I comment on your Instagram post, I'm going to blow you up, like, you know, blow you up online, like, you know, whatever we say, whatever we do. But see, here's the danger. Do that, we're out of love. You're out of love, your faith stops working. And then all these things you've been praying for, all these things you've been believing for, all these things you've been going after, right? If he can get you into bitterness and unforgiveness, even, you know, sometimes, yeah, you were really hurt. Someone's really, really terrible about something, or you've really gone through someone really tried. But the devil doesn't fight fair. And all he is looking is for a legal right to start to get inroads. He's looking to sabotage and shut down your faith. So he will do whatever he can to get you out of love and to get you out of walking in love. Why? Because if you will just stay in love, the Bible says God is love, and you stay in God and you stay connected to him and your faith keeps working, and the peace of God keeps working, and the power of God keeps working on your situation. You make that commitment to stay in love. The devil cannot stop what God is doing in your life. But if he can get us out of love, he can get us, remember, it's not even him, us to sabotage what God is doing. Whatever we have to do, family, stay in love. Stay walking in love. Stay right in the center of God's love for you, but also walking in God's love for others. Remember 1 Peter, Peter talked about, he said, husbands, make sure you walk with your wives correctly. Or you know, if we go back to what Paul wrote, love your wife as Christ loves the church. Why? Because if not, he says, your prayers will actually be hindered. Right? See, that ties right into this principle. If you get out of love, your prayers start getting hindered. Your faith starts getting hindered. The financial flow of what God's trying to get to you starts getting hindered. Guys, everything starts to shut down and we default out of our inheritance. Why? Because we allowed somebody or something or some situation to get us out of walking in the love of God. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Stay right centered in the love of God. Why? Because you stay centered in love. You stay centered in all that he has for you. So then the question becomes, well, what then does walking in love look like? Right? Because that's great. That's a wonderful sounding concept. But what does it actually look like to walk in love? Well, there's many verses we could pull out. There's many different concepts we could talk about. I want to go for a moment to 1 Corinthians 13. And we're going to look at 4 to 8, verse 8, and then 13. Right? 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter is what it's often called. So if we want to know what it looks like to walk in love, I suggest we should go to the love chapter to find out what walking in love looks like. But get ready, because this is where it becomes real. Because sometimes we can say, oh yes, just walk in love, walk in love. Well, what does walk in love look like? Well, God told us. Let's look at what he said. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 8a, and then 13. It says, love is patient. Now remember, this is love. Walk in love, that faith works by love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And now these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Do you see from this passage, family, a little bit of what walking in love looks like? You know, I wrote down a quote here from Pastor Rich Velotis, who's a pastor out of New York City. And he said this. He said, 1 Corinthians 13 was not written with a wedding ceremony in mind. Right? I'll tell you, I've done many weddings. This is definitely one of the most popular passages for a wedding ceremony. And you can definitely use it in a marriage ceremony. I use it in marriage ceremonies. But I love what he said. He said it was not primarily written with a wedding ceremony in mind. It was not meant to give us warm, fuzzy feelings. This chapter is Paul's word of rebuke to a church marked by great miracles and charisma, but by little maturity or character. And we see that if we read through 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, there's a lot of correction because Paul is speaking to the Corinthian church who are seeing great miracles, who are seeing have great charisma. They're seeing the gifts of the Spirit flow. They're seeing power flow. But Paul is correcting them, and he's doing it in love. But he's correcting them very strongly because he's saying, guys, listen, you're prophesying and you're doing this, you're that. But listen, you need to walk in love. Right? You need to walk in love. And could it not be said the same for us today? I mean, frankly, I pray for our church. I pray for the Church of Jesus Christ in Toronto and Canada that we would have more miracles, that we would have more charisma. But see, what Paul talks about here and what the Word of God talks about, and even I didn't go through verse 1 to 3, but he talks about the importance of walking in love. Why? Because he says, basically, if you're not walking in love, no matter what else you do, it really doesn't matter. And then for our text and context, faith works by love. And so what does love, walking in love look like? Well, first and foremost, it says love is patient. How patient are you? How patient are we? Right? Because if I'm not patient, I'm not walking in love. Catch this. Right? And if I'm not walking in love, my faith isn't going to work and my prayers are hindered. And there's just a whole bunch of other things that go on. But it comes down to walking in love, which comes down to being patient. How many of us are so impatient and we're not developing the fruit of the Spirit of patience in our lives? Right? Walking in love means I'm patient. Walking in love also means I'm kind. This is such an important biblical concept. I mean, God is so kind. He is the source of all kindness, right? And it's not something necessarily we really understand in his character, but man, today, guys, let's be real. Like even with our interactions with one another, I feel like social media has just taken this to a whole nother level. But as Christians, we're called to be kind, right? We're called to be kind to everyone who we agree with and who we disagree with. But there is such a kindness deficit going on. But if I walk in love, I'm going to walk in kindness, right? It does not envy, right? We need to do a checkup. Am I walking in envy? Am I seeing what others have and desiring it? Now, usually we think of possessions, but how about position? How about, well, they're married, or they have children, or they have this really nice house, or they are preaching, and I'm not preaching to people like that, or their book is doing, like do a study on envy, because it gets all of us, right? But there's envy, or do we have envy, right? It does not boast, and it is not proud, right? Pride kind of just pulls us right out of walking in love. Because when I'm walking in pride, right, when I'm boasting, it's all about me. When I'm walking in love, it's all about others, right? Doesn't mean I do damage to myself or I neglect myself, but it just means I'm so focused on others and giving to others and ministering to others and serving others and praying for others. And that's actually the healthiest place to live, because what you sow, you reap. But there's this element. So this is, again, will we deal with pride in our lives? Because if I'm embracing pride, I'm not walking in love. If I'm not walking in love, catch this, if I'm not walking in love, then my faith starts to shut down, right? It does not dishonor others, right? I've been thinking a lot about this, the gift of honor and the culture of honor and honoring people. And you've seen the value that God's placed in people. Right, again, I kind of referenced already just social media. I feel like social media is we've really got to seek God and be guarded about this area of what we're taking in, but also what we're putting out. But there's so much dishonor going on right now, guys. Right, even if you disagree with someone, right, for their stance on something, their politics, this or that, they're still someone God created. They're still God someone loved. And it doesn't mean you don't disagree with them, but you can have a spirit of honor. Because that's walking in love. Because the ultimate goal is seeing them come to Christ anyways and let God transform their heart. Right? So this is power of honor. It's not self-seeking. Right? How much does selfishness plague us? Most of the time we don't even see it. We don't realize it until the Lord exposes it, or we get in a situation where man, I'm just really self-centered on this right now. But see, that's not walking in love. And see, I think you can see with all this, it's not like one day you just wake up and say, okay, I'm going to walk in love and do these things perfectly. No, you grow in them. You cultivate them. You draw near to Jesus and let him work them in your life. Many of them you talk about are fruits of the Spirit, right? So it's in the, being in the with Holy Spirit and these growing in you and doing that. So it's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. It does not delight in evil, but it rejoices in the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Guys, we could do a month-long series. We could do much longer talking about what love looks like. But here's my challenge to you. We've been talking this month about getting in the Word. We've been talking about diving deep. We're talking about love. Take this passage this week. Pray over it. Meditate in it. Ask the Lord to show you, where am I not walking in love? Because again, it starts by receiving his love, but then my faith is also fueled and energized, and it is guarded when I walk in love. So do a checkup. Am I patient? Am I kind? Am I not walking in envy? Am I not boasting? Am I not proud? Am I choosing not to dishonor others, but honor others? Am I being self-seeking, or am I walking in selflessness? Am I being easily angered? Am I keeping records of wrong? Am I delighting in evil, or am I rejoicing in the truth? Am I protecting? Am I trusting? Am I hoping? Am I persevering? These are all part of the love walk. And again, guys, straight up, till the day Jesus returns or we go home to see him, we're going to be working on growing these things. But the more we receive love and the more we walk in love, the more we're going to see our faith flourish. Because at the end, I love it again, it says love never fails, right? Love never fails. Love never fails, because God is love, and God never fails. And we're in love, we get in God, and love never fails. But see, when the enemy can get us out of love, he gets us into failure territory. And I just want to challenge and encourage you today. Some of you are listening to me, and the light switch is clicking on in your life right now. And you're going, oh man, I've just been totally not walking in love. I've been letting the devil bait me and pull me out of walking in love. Man, I'm going to forgive. Man, I'm going to get that right in this relationship. Man, I'm gonna stop, you know, letting anger overwhelm me against this person or this type of person. Like, whatever it is, the light switch is clicking on, because love never fails. And so if we want to walk in what God has for us, stay in love, stay in love, stay in love. You know, that, now part of that means I got to go on journeys of forgiveness. And I talked a little bit about that this week in the Faith Fuels. But, you know, this is not like a quick fix. It's a lifelong journey, because if I'm going to walk by faith, I'm going to need to walk by love. And every day I can grow in my faith walk, and every day I can grow in my love walk, because the two are connected together. Do you see what I'm saying today? Again, love never fails. But now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. I just pray and I declare over you in Jesus' name today, you are walking by faith and not by sight. You are filled with the hope of God. I'm excited next month. We're going to be talking more about hope as we come into the Christmas season. And so you are filled with hope, but you are also walking in love. And the greatest of these is love. Why? Because when I'm in the love of a Father, when I'm walking in love towards others, my faith walk is energized. My hope walk is energized. Everything that God has for me is energized. Walk in love. And so again, just to recap today, guys, as we bring this to close. Number one, in this world, we're going to have trouble, but we need to take heart. Christ has overcome the world. You and I, who've been born of God, we also overcome the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. But our faith is growing and being made strong as we hear the word and as we're in the word. And then it's bolstered and it's strengthened as we walk in love. Why? Because faith works by love. Family, in closing, let's dive deep into the love of the Father and what he has for us. And then let's dive deep into walking in love towards one another. I know there's so much temptation to not walk in love, especially in the day and age we're in. But when you understand what's going on in the Spirit, you understand, I need to stay in love, and I'm going to stay in love in Jesus' name. Can I pray for you today? All right, let's just bow our head and close our eyes. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name, even as we come to the end of this message. And Father, I thank you and I pray for every person that's watching. Again, whether they're in our live experience or whether they are watching this at some other time. God, I thank you for grace and empowerment by the Holy Spirit to walk in love. First and foremost, that we receive the love of the Father. Secondly, that we choose to walk in love towards every person around us, whether they deserve it or not. Because part of the reason we're walking in love is not just for them or they're deserving it, but it's for us, so that we stay centered in what God has for us. That we stay centered in what you have for us, Father. And so we pray right now. Just put your hands in position to receive. We pray right now, Lord, show us any area of our lives where we're not walking in love. Even put a guard over our mouth. Put a guard over our thought life and our actions this week. Alert us. Say, whoa, whoa. I want to respond this way right now, but that's not walking in love. Yeah, I want to start getting into a fight here with someone, but, you know, I want to throw hands, you know, figuratively or physically, but that's not walking in love. And I'm going to stay in love because I'm staying in God and I'm staying in faith and I'm staying all that he has for me. So show us, God. Teach us in this. I pray that we will be people who walk by faith and we'll be people who walk by love. And so we love you, Lord, and we thank you for this in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that as we walk by love, we'll be able to take your love to the world around us, to our city, to our nation, to nations of the world. And we just trust you and we believe you for this in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed, said, amen. Well, just before I close here, I want to ask one last question. I was just talking about taking the love of Jesus to the nations. And there might be some people watching today, and you realize today you're not right with God. Maybe you used to be and you fell away, or maybe you just never. Maybe this is a new concept to you of being right with God. But here's what the Bible teaches us. God loves us with an everlasting love, but we've been separated from that love because of sin. Because of sin, we deserve eternal judgment. I say we, very intentionally, because I deserve it just as much as you. All have sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard. And then Romans 6:23, that was Romans 3:23. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So because of sin, we deserved eternal death. But Jesus came, he died, and he rose again. He said, listen, if you'll turn your back on sin, you'll put your faith in me, I will give you this free gift of eternal life. Instead of eternal death, you will have eternal life. You deserve eternal death, but I'll take your place and I'll give you eternal life. And that's the gift he has for us today. And if you're listening today and you're not right with God, today is your day to get right with God. You don't know what the future holds. None of us can guarantee that we're promised another day. If God's calling you today, say yes to him. Answer that call. And so what you do is you make a decision to repent from sin or turn away from it and to commit your life to Jesus. Make him your Lord. Receive him. Like, just receive him into your life. And as you do that, he'll forgive you, he'll free you, and he'll start you on this amazing path that he has for you of eternal life instead of heading towards eternal death. And so if that's you today, I want you to pray this with me right now. Say, Jesus, thank you for your love for me. Thank you that you died. Thank you that you rose again. Today I turn my back on sin and I commit my life to you. You are my Lord. I believe God raised you from the dead. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for setting me free. And thank you for putting me on your path in life. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, if you prayed that prayer, here's what I want to ask. Can you just let us know? We would love to have one of our pastors or one of our leaders just touch base with you, follow up, just support you in whatever we can. But thank you so much. I'm so glad. Let us know. We want to be part of your new steps in Christ.